Hey, this is Elige, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 106 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, May 23rd, 2018. The time, 7:52 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Hello. Alongside me, as always, we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, guys?
And with us is Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Namaste.
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 This... Look at you being all cultured.
It's almost racist, though, that he's doing it, in a way.
Does it feel right?
No. But I'll tell you what does feel right, this episode. Because this is going to be the best episode ever. Why, you might ask? We have a brand new segment called Word on the Street. Surely to have zero production value, as we just came up with this segment earlier today. That segment will entail of rumors and things that we have heard, unconfirmed rumors, but rumors nonetheless. Some you might even hear first on the Center Ring. We will give our impressions on Call of Duty Black Ops 4, but more from an esports perspective. It seems like Activision is really pushing that agenda. And, of course, we'll recap some ESL Dallas, play some audio from the interview. But before we do that, I ask you to follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. You can hit us up on our website, tcr.gg. There's a little email thing you can go. Discord link. You can join the Discord with all of our other listeners and say hi. And that's about it. Our website will pretty much cover everything. Well, let's get into the show here. Because last weekend was ESL Pro League Final for their Season 7. And it was held in Dallas, just like Season 5 was. And it looks like maybe that will be a common trend now, where we at least get one in Dallas every year. You would think, because when you're there, they constantly tell you, the birthplace of esports. So it'd be kind of weird to just yoink it from Dallas, don't you think? This is where you guys come in.
I think it's kind of lame guys. That they use the same video that they did last year, right? Like the same intro video to This is Dallas.
It was kind of lazy.
Of CSGO. It is kind of lazy.
It was a bit lazy. You had an entire year to get some new skyline shots.
We thought our value was bad.
Yeah, for real. You thought it was lazy that we're still using liners from players that aren't even with the team anymore. Oh. But nonetheless, it was still an awesome event. I really enjoyed it. I don't know. Do you guys want to talk? We didn't really prep this ahead of time. But let's talk about just the event first, then we'll get into the teams and all that going forward. But I really thought it was it ran smoothly. I'm always interested when we go to an event like this, because it seems like when you're at an event, it runs really smooth, right? Like, there's no you don't notice the tech delays as much, if there were any. I don't even think there was any for this.
It helps when they're giving out full things of Tolbarone, though, you know, dude.
A full Reese's cup in the press room. Whew.
Peanut butter M&Ms.
They like pump you full of sugar and coffee.
Dude, I've never had so much candy in such a long time. But yeah, free Red Bull, free candy, free sandwiches, everything. ESL treats the media well.
And we're gonna relive that in like 9 days, gentlemen.
Yeah,
more eating factor.
More sugar.
Yeah, no, they really do. ESL, like. For all the shit that they get, whether it comes to Facebook and all this other stuff, man, the way they treat the media, like they make you feel important and special. Yeah. And that's pretty cool, because we've done other events where it's like, wait, does anybody even know we're here?
Yeah, you go back in the press area, which is like behind this giant curtain, and it's pitch black. You can't see anything because it's like in a convention center. We won't name names, but it's like you couldn't do anything back there because it was so dark because they had the lights off. There was nothing there. And, yeah, I mean, I get it. We're just the media, right? We shouldn't be spoiled. But it doesn't hurt to spoil us once in a while. So it's very hard to have an unbiased opinion about ESL when I feel like they're so nice. They're just nice people. But I do wonder.
The unnamed event that we won't name, codename GLM or something, let's just say. That was tough compared to this one. Yeah. This was really cool. This was fun, and the access is great to the players, and you meet a lot of people. You know, you hear a lot of things. I mean, it's just cool. It was just a fun event.
Mm-hmm.
And in the presentation on stage, like that also, I thought looks really nice. Like they do a good job, and the Dallas fans are good. I don't think we're the best out there. I wouldn't say that, but it still, you know, ends up getting pretty loud in there.
It's the Verizon Theater is to me like one of like the perfect setup for esports because you just have the single stage. No matter where you're sitting in that place, you're going to be able to see the screens. They got three big screens going on. It's a really good venue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a numbers game, right? Like you went to Columbus and watched a major, and I'm sure it was loud because it's in an arena and there's thousands of more people in there. But I felt like, you know, I'm with you guys. Like that is a perfect venue. It's, you know, not too little, not too much. It's just right.
And I can't really make a fair comparison between like Columbus and this because Columbus was a major after all, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, yes, there's more people there, but at the same time, the hype level for a major is just so different. In my opinion, I think the crowd's kind of lame. I wish we were a little bit more.
I was trying to be nice.
Nah, I'll say it. I thought it was kind of lame. I wish the crowd was more in sync with each other, right? You have some people trying to start this chant, and the other people are starting this chant, and their clapping is all out of rhythm. And
it's hard following up Sydney, dude.
I blame the Thundersticks.
Yeah, there it is, right there.
I blame the Thundersticks because first off, they get in your way, right? You have that kid behind you constantly banging his together, and they cover up the actual like crowd noise. Like I felt like people were chanting USA, but you never heard it because the Thundersticks were just covering it up. I don't like them.
It's like pumping in false volume almost.
It is.
Yeah. And the USA chant bothers me because like Liquid,
it's old.
Like Liquid, they have two Canadians and a, you know, two Brazilian Americans and a Brazilian. But you know, Taco embraced it. Like he brought out the American flag, you know, wrapped around his shoulders. Like,
I agree. It is old. It gets.
Yeah,
no other country chants out their name. You don't hear them saying like Brazil or, you know, whatever. You just don't hear it.
I will say to this day, though, I get chills every time I think about the Columbus Major when Liquid was on stage, and when they were walking out, the entire stadium, unprompted, right? Like a little group started doing it, and then everyone did it where we stood up, took off our hats, and then sang the national anthem. But it was like a cappella because there was no music being piped in or anything. Everyone just did it.
That's like, pretty cool, yeah.
Being in a stadium with like 10,000 other people, however many were there, it was it was pretty surreal, honestly. Like that was awesome, and everyone was in it, but I don't know. Maybe it's just. I think it's the Thundersticks. I blame the Thundersticks.
Well, this is not that, but it's still a good event.
It's still an awesome event. Right. Like I said, don't take my comparison towards a major to this, but it's a really fun event. The players seem to enjoy it every year when we talk to them, which we'll play some audio here later on from some of our interviews. But if you wanted to look at all of the interviews and hear the full interviews, because each of them are about 5 to 10 minutes long, you can go to our YouTube, which you can find through our website or Twitter. And you can hear all of our player interviews and everything there. But getting into the actual play of the event, you know, I want to start with some of the upsets. And I think when you look at how this placed, Cloud9 to me was the first. They were an upset but not a surprise because it just seems like Cloud9 cannot get out of groups. Like it seems they're back to their old ways.
Cloud9 had a tough time in this tournament. I mean, they shouldn't. It was really, what was their first game? They got dominated, I believe, wasn't it FaZe? I think it was FaZe was the first game, yeah.
Yeah, well,
they played
FaZe
and lost 63, and it was just such a tough start to the tournament, you know? And And they had a little bit of a gimme in the next matchup. But even that, I felt like that should have been a 2-0 versus Sharks instead of being a 2-1 there. And then Heroic came to play this tournament. Heroic played pretty well. They were the NA killer. And Cloud9 just didn't seem like much of a match for them going down 2-0. So, no, yeah, they were a disappointment.
And, you know, if you tell me, okay, 16-3, beginning of the tournament, okay, I can get over that. But the way FaZe looked against Astralis, that even makes that Cloud9 match look a little bit worse.
The fact that later on, FaZe said they had a off tournament. So if you 16-3'd Cloud9 on your off tournament, what was wrong with Cloud9? And we did talk to FNS, was it Saturday? And he was saying, like, they literally, ever since he joined the team, haven't really had a chance to practice. Like, their practice are at events. So I think, which is kind of crazy, because there are some events they look really good.
29 days or something, he said.
Yeah. So I think going into ECS, which is in like 2 weeks, they're basically boot camping over there, right? He said they're boot camping in Europe, and this is honestly the first time since joining the team that as an IGL, he can actually boot camp and practice with his team. Up until now, it's pretty much been on the fly.
Yeah, it's been, what do you say, 60-40, right? Him and Automatic.
Yeah, he says he pretty much handles the beginning, and then Automatic handles the mid-game.
Which is expected, because the beginning is a little bit easier. It's more structured to call, right? And then the mid-game, it has to be on the flow, and you have to know what people's tendencies are on your team. So,
yeah.
Interesting that it was Automatic that was doing it. I think you and me both were thinking he was going to say, and Atarik was the one helping out there. But yeah, he had mentioned that Automatic was the go-to there mid-game. One of the other disappointing teams for me, though, was NRG. Hoping to see a lot from them with the way they had performed in both ECS and ESL. And to come out and put up a stinker in your first game against Heroic, again, who took out Cloud9, and then really not much of a fight against Mouse either. So, you know, they would be my disappointment of the tournament. I think it's really tough to end up playing Mouse in that second part of the lower bracket, because they beat MVP, but they should have beat MVP again. That was 2-1, but unfortunate having to play Mouse there. But still, they just were a little underwhelming, and that was kind of sad, because I was really hoping they would do well.
My thing with NRG was going into this tournament, right? What was the constant you always heard was NRG? Yeah, they're doing what they're doing, but it's all online. Wait till they get to a LAN, and it seems like the 3 or 4 tournaments they've had where they had a chance to prove that, hey, we're on land and now we're going to do better, they just don't. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a repeat of ESL last year, right? Like, just for whatever reason, they get to land, they don't do very well.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of like Space Soldier. Space Soldier's the same way, right? Space Soldier's so good online, and these guys come to land and vanish completely, and so it's just...
And I get it that there's, I mean, they play completely different, right? Like, if you've never actually played... Say you play a game hardcore online, and then if you've never played it on LAN, I really implore you to go find a local LAN center or ask your buddies to come over and try a LAN, because it really does feel completely different. Like, a game on a local area network where everyone has, like, 3 ping, it feels different.
It's not even that. Like, me and one of our friends, Brandon, were talking about this the other day, about DreamHack, and it's like, man, if my desk chair isn't like the same height and I can't put my same amount of space of my arm on like the mat and how close I sit to the monitor and kind of how just every little positioning makes such a big difference to us when we're playing. Like, I like to be in the same little routine every time. So yeah, I can't imagine doing that for such an intense situation where there's so much on the line. And
I mean, especially if you're NRG, where the only lands you're making are the ones that you qualify for. You know, they're not getting invited nearly as much as other teams.
No, I agree. I think that's going to be challenging for a team like that versus like a Mouse, who's at every single major event, you know, and are constantly on the move. So, again, that's tough. But there were a lot of teams that, you know, we thought did really well that showed up that was kind of unexpected. I thought Optic was definitely one of them. Didn't, see that coming necessarily, especially taking out Brett and our hometown boys of Ninjas. Ninjas, again, I guess would be, again, on the disappointing end there, right? They just got smacked.
Yeah, but, you know, in their defense, I remember we did the preview show for ESL Dallas, and we did say they have the toughest route because they played SK in round one of groups, then they played Optic. Like,
yeah.
No other team had to play two top-tier teams going into it. Like, if you look, every other team got a softy except for NiP.
You wish they took a map or something off Optic, right? At least the SK game went into, what was it?
Overtime.
You know, overtime. But again, is that much to brag about at the moment with SK's current form? So it might be another knock on you.
Is there anything else you'd like to share, Anuj? Maybe a confession about Optic? It's okay. It's a safe place. You can tell the listener.
So we interviewed Cajun, Mr. Cajun B. Gotta say, dude's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Good
I don't
dude.
Know how to say it.
Good
He's
dude.
Really good dude.
You talk so He's much really, smack really going into this, saying, I hate all of them. All of Optic.
They're so cocky.
I even called him out on it. I even asked him, what's wrong with you Danish people, okay? And you know what? He's just solid. He's a stand-up individual.
He was honest. He said, he goes, there are a lot of people in the Danish CSGO scene that are toxic. They like drama and they're toxic.
No, but he was a cool guy. It made me, you know, appreciate them a little bit more.
You think he was talking about his own teammate on that one a little bit?
He's like, yeah, there's a lot of toxic players in the community, Config being one of them. maybe we'll say that word on the street. But yeah, I mean, they were...
He was actually really nice. And so this happens all the time, though, right? So, and this is not just in esports, but like any media, right? Like I always go in with these preconceptions of players, and then you interview players, and you're like, damn.
He's I didn't want to like.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. And like with Cajun, we were like, I don't think this was recorded. I think this was after just with us messing around with him. But we were like, oh yeah, we're gonna be at DreamHack Austin. You know, we'll see you there. And he was like, oh really? Oh, well, come find me. You know, I'd love to say hi. And we were like, yeah, we're gonna have like our banner at our desks. And he's like, oh, are you playing? I didn't know. And we were like, well, hold up. Like he thought we were playing like. In like a real tournament, and we're like, no, we're playing in the DreamHack tournament. But he's like, oh, if I see your banner, I'll come say hi. And we're like, no, you won't. but man, what would you do if you just were playing? And then I told him, I was like, bro, if you come by, you can take my place in the open tournament there. Like, no one will know.
If and when we run into him, I'd just be happy if you remembered us from this past week.
Man,
I would like to think we would because we talked a lot about Austin.
We talked a lot. We told them about Sixth Street. We said there's a lot of girls there. Like we were saying, like, hey, you can come hang out with us. But then
it's imperative that you keep the stash and I keep the beard.
I was gonna say at the end of the day, you're an Indian and I'm a white guy with a pretty badass mustache. We're pretty like we're not that forgettable. People.
It's like Harold and Kumar walking around, dude.
Yeah, like
real.
We are pretty.
What
about
like up there?
We stand out, so I don't think it'd be difficult to see. In fact, we met one of our listeners out there, Sam, and he like you know messaged me on Twitter. I was like, just look for the Indian and the white guy with the mustache, and
found us in 10 seconds.
You should be able to find us pretty quick. So Optic, yeah, they actually had a pretty good tournament. And, you know, for a newer roster, I think even the one common ground that when you talk to all the players, right, it seems like most of them, like 90% of them all said, yeah, we just haven't had time to actually practice anything. Like,
ever.
It's just all traveling and tournaments.
Which is kind of funny because you're playing in a playoff for a league you've been playing for months, right? Like, there's been a lot of buildup, like months of buildup for this ESL final. And then players are like, yeah, we're just getting to know each other, really. It's like, bro.
Yeah, you've been playing all season. Do we bring this up already with FNS? He gave a really good answer. If you want to go on our YouTube to listen to it, we asked the question about the scheduling. And he pretty much said, he's like, I think there should be 2 months off, like back to back months, right? Where it's vacation or it's an off season. Because like even if you have like a month off, he's like realistically you have about a week off. Because if you have 1 month or 4 weeks off, three of those are teams negotiating trades.
He said it was during Christmas time, right. So it's like you're with your family for like two or three of those weeks.
Well, and then you have trades and all that. Right. Yeah. So he's like, you maybe get a week to yourself. So he's like, give us two months off and that'd be fine. And you know what? One day I'm going to sit down and make a Counter-Strike schedule for everyone, and I'm going to present it on the show because I think there's a way to do it, and it's really, like, you have ESL, ECS are the two main leagues. I think there's a way to schedule it out to where everyone can have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, what was he saying? 6 months be one schedule, 6 months should be a different, in the sense of, like, you do five actually for each one, but, like, yeah, the first 5 months can be ESL, yeah, and then the next five is like ECS and split.
And you
it
can
up
even
that way, or split your,
yeah,
seasons.
Yeah, you could throw or even then. Yeah, well, I'll work on it because there's a way to,
yeah,
do
I like
it. There's
that.
A way everyone can have their own tournaments still. You can have majors, and even that way, you can make two majors and make it sense, right? Rather than now where they seem kind of random.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, there's so much chatter because how many times have we talked about on our show, right? Of like schedules being all messed up, and then, you know, players are pretty much reiterating what we're saying. So somebody needs to listen. It's an issue.
Agreed.
It's so bad.
Agreed.
We got another pick for the tournament here if we want to jump back into that.
Yeah.
Another winner for me on this. Let's just make this our winners losers at the same time here, right?
Yeah,
this
kind
of works out well, I feel. So what we can do with this is on one of them is obviously Liquid. I mean, was that not the most obvious pick, right? But these guys really impressed me because they haven't had a lot of time to practice either, right? They had that one Malmo tournament where they looked really bad, and then they took some time off, and this is their first big tournament since then. But they took out Na'Vi with, you know, what I felt like was ease. Brett, you watched most of that tournament.
Yeah.
Most of the, yep, you know, that series.
Yeah. So, I mean, just one takeaway. I mean, they're bringing in a new guy in Taco. He hasn't been playing very long, but on the flip side, Nitro hasn't really been opping for the team a whole while, right? Like it's been a few months, right, since he took over that role, and I would say he was the big reason they beat Na'Vi. Like, he out-opped Simple, I felt like, in that game.
And that Simple's, like, worst series that he's had in the past 3 months, so you got to give the guy a break.
Poor Simple, man. Like, that team goes how he goes. So, I mean, if he's having an off game, there's nobody else on that team, I feel, that just steps up.
Well,
and
he
carries,
has to take
like
the entire brunt of it, too. Like Anuj said, like, even if, yeah, he has an average game, they're going to look bad, and it all still falls on him. Like, oh,
people,
you
are
know,
giving him crap.
Yeah,
for
like,
it.
Oh, Simple didn't pull this one through. It's like,
he's playing at a 1.3 rating for like 3 months.
Can't always beat the guy.
But again, yeah, like, they looked pretty good up until that point, and Liquid even themselves, you know, you 2-0 Mouse and you 2-0 Na'Vi. That's a pretty damn good tournament in itself right there. And then I know we kind of bashed them a little bit in the Astralis series, but it really wasn't one-sided by any means, except for Dust2. Dust2, obviously, it could have been more one-sided if it was 16-0, but 16-1. But Nuke, Mirage, and Inferno were all pretty close. There were two 16-14s in there and a 16-12, and one of those obviously being a win for them. They didn't look bad, you know? They played well against who's, you know, the number one team in the world right now. And so for a young team, still growing, still learning each other, I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah, a little continuity, you know, kind of, you know, they figure out how they want to play. And, you know, they got their anchor in Zeus. So, you know, that as a coach. So I'm optimistic what they can do.
It's only an 18.
So you already said, you know, who you said there was a good and bad. I guess the bad was Na'Vi.
Oh, like overall, like the loser of the tournament for me would be,
yeah,
I think would be Cloud9 in this case. I think that was just that's just rough for them. Though they didn't perform well. You were kind of hoping to see something and see a spark. Them and, you know, even Renegades, which is hard because how much can you really truly expect from them? But I thought they had a decent chance in the tournament, and I thought they would play well because Nifty had been playing so well, and then you get 2-0'd by SK. And
SK is one like that's been up in the air, right? Like, you want to talk about optimism. Like, no one really has had that with SK ever since Stewie joined. We talked to both Fallen and Stewie, and we'll play the audio from Stewie here in a second. But with Fallen, you know, I straight up asked, like, when do you normally get that feeling of maybe we need to make a roster move? You know, and he was very honest. He was like, we typically roster moves are made from, you know, outside elements. It's not really based off of if you're playing well or not. It's if you're not willing to work as a team and work through it. And he said they're not at that point. And then we talked.
If you're FNX, basically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, so you're saying Bolts is safe. Okay. Okay. But then we sat down with Stewie again, and we talked to him. I forget what the exact question was, but I think a Nuge, you asked Stewie, right? Basically, his role between now versus Cloud9?
Yeah, basically, how much has your role changed in what, you know, SK is wanting you to do versus what you were doing?
All right, so let's listen to his answer here.
I feel like my role right now in SK is how it should have been when I first ran Cloud9. I'm being put as a player, and I just play. Whenever I'm told to play, I play. I do what I'm said, and when I need to give my input, I give my input. And I don't need to do anything else in that. I just need to improve my own game. I don't need to worry about anyone else, and I can focus on my own screen.
So I got the vibe from Stewie throughout that entire interview. And if you, again, go on YouTube, on our YouTube, first subscribe to our YouTube, and then watch it.
Hit that subscribe button
Smash
right here in the
corner. Smash that subscribe button. I really got the vibe that he did not like being the leader in the clubhouse with Cloud9.
No, not at all. That's exact his answer. He worked around it five different ways there and didn't want to spit it out. But all I heard there was, I didn't want to be the in-game leader, and I was pushed into that role, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Like, all I want to do is play. Let me just frag.
I don't want to be the guy.
And you can't be mad at that, right? Because, like, I mean, everyone has their own personality. Like when I play games, like I don't like to do any leading. I just like to, you know, you tell me where to be and I'll be there. So I mean, it's just a mindset.
Yeah, I mean, it's all personality, like you said, right? If we're all playing, I would never assume Brett would be the one giving the orders, and then me and Anuj definitely are comfortable with like, all right, let's do this, let's try this or do whatever. And It's weird that
and
it's
on another side
Stewie.
Of that though, it's usually not the best player that's doing that in CS. Like in some games there are, right? Like the caller can be, but usually in Counter-Strike, if you are IGLing, you're not necessarily the best player on that team. Cold's like, your Nico.
Kerrigan.
Like, yeah, I mean there's hundreds of, you know, Cloud9, there's just from team after team. So I get Stewie not wanting to add that responsibility when he knows he's probably the top fragger on the team also. Like, let him do what he's supposed to do best and put those duties on somebody else. Like, automatic stepping up now, I wish they kind of tried that before, and maybe that would have worked out better and he would have ultimately stayed.
We also have, which one do you want to talk first? Because now we're kind of getting into, you know what, let's play some Guardian audio with FaZe, because I really want to talk about Astralis in its own.
Yep.
Because I think I'm guilty of living under a rock or something with Astralis. So we caught up with Guardian from FaZe after they were eliminated. So this was the day after on Sunday. So they were eliminated on Saturday, where Guardian had historically one of his worst matches ever. It's the first time, I think, in the year 2018, he went negative. Like, at one point, he had zero kills, and he finally was, like, 1-15. And he had good, in good jest, in good spirit, he was, like, laughing about it. So, I mean, he...
Fist pumping.
Yeah, the entire team took it in stride. And I think in our interview, he said, look, it happens. Yeah, like, yeah. It wasn't a good tournament. This is not one where we'll even watch the film on. Like, he said, like, this was, we'll just kind of forget this one happened, and we'll move on in life.
Which kind of led to this conversation here with him, was going into Exist is obviously a stand-in for them. For those of you that don't know, he's currently standing in for Olaf, and
so we asked about Olaf, and I will say this: who was it that tried to act like they had some exclusive story saying that Olaf Meister is closer than we think? Someone tweeted us and he tagged us saying the center ring broke this first, and I was like, you damn right we did. But here's Guardian talk about Olaf.
I shouldn't talk about it because it's all Olaf's thing and his personal decision. But I think he should be back very soon, earlier than we expected. So I think we can see him soon.
So soon. He was very tiptoeing around the answer, though. I really want to know why Olaf Meister's not playing. Whenever you say personal reasons, that's when I want to get really nosy and be like, so, like, what?
Like, what? Well, yeah.
Because he's still, because at first I was under the impression that Olaf Meister was not playing at all. But Guardian was like, no, when he's ready to come back, he'll be in the lineup and we'll be ready to go. He's still playing FPL matches and he's still practicing. And, like, he hasn't lost a beat.
40-plus matches in the past, like, couple of, you know, 2 weeks or something.
Right.
So he's been grinding him out.
So it's not like he was like, guys, I got to step away or something. I really want to know what the reason was. But it's cool to see that, you know, it's in the horizon that he's going to make a comeback. I kind of feel bad for Exist, but I think that team will instantly improve with all of Meister.
Oh, no, yeah.
Because they were consistently a top two team with him.
Yeah, I mean, he was the worst. I mean, you look at NiP. I can't talk. Reset. When Exist was on NiP, you just watching, you know, the eye test. Like, he was the worst player on that team. Like, he was the weak link, and you could tell in this tournament, like, he was just getting picked on. Like, of course, yeah. You insert Olaf, and most definitely they become a very scary team for sure. There, I got my words out. Are you proud of me?
Congratulations.
God, I'm struggling, dude. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Lack of sleep can do that to a human.
Maybe it is.
No, yeah, I mean, Olaf coming back will definitely help. Exist hasn't done bad, though. They won a tournament with him, so yeah. It's not like they're playing like crap.
He's a good replacement, though. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, he's a really
inexperienced, really good replacement. All that talk earlier about playing on LAN, like who has more experience than him, right? And
yeah.
So these guys were like 87-0 or some 1 point on LAN. So yeah, I mean the replacement was fine, but Olaf coming back, I think, will bring back that initial chemistry. He kind of seems like he fits FaZe more, if that makes sense, like with that current.
You could say
people.
It.
Just personality wise.
Yeah, just I mean
he's a douche.
Like more of.
Kind of looks like a
he's like more of a FaZe guy.
He might fit in with FaZe a little better.
A little bit. So, yeah, I think that would
entire organization.
That'll just help. But it's good to hear that he is coming back soon because you never know what's going on with these guys. Device was back in the hospital today, so who knows what's going on there. So you want to see these teams?
Really?
Yeah, I just saw it on his Twitter a little bit earlier. But you want to see these teams at 100%. So you want to see the best against the best. And right now, with all the ups and downs you're having amongst the top five teams, it would be good to see all of these teams that are there right now find their stride. SK becoming comfortable with Stewie and Cold as a caller. FaZe getting their full lineup. You know, Astralis is hitting their groove right now with this new current lineup that they have. And so it's going to be good to see these teams kind of coming about and hopefully creating better CS.
And I can't, I cannot lie. Maybe I haven't been watching Astralis games as much as I should be, or maybe I'm just not paying that much attention. I did not know that they were, like, leading the charge and changing the way CSGO is played. Because the way, and I mean, it, like, you didn't even have to have anyone tell you, right? Like, if you were just watching the matches, you saw right offhand that these guys are using grenades a little differently. Like, they're getting a lot more nade kills than I have ever seen a team get for CSGO, and I mean, it was very evident throughout the tournament.
Yeah, they were picking on Nico on Inferno. They killed him on Banana like three times when they were on T side with
nade
stacks. Is like
and everything yeah. Here. We have audio here. This is from Zipnik, and I want to defend myself. Okay, in the interview, every time I said his name, I said it differently, with like zero confidence in my voice. I know his name is Zipnik. I know that. But when Henry G in the grand finals was talking, I swear to God, he said it as, how did he say it? Zipnex.
Zipix?
Zipix? That's what he said. He said Zipix. And I was like, oh.
I could see it the whole interview.
Have I been saying? And I'm like, oh crap. Have I been saying his name wrong the whole time? I mean, there's a number 9 in it, so I don't know how you say that. I always thought it was Zipnik, but he said Zipik, so it rocked my world and changed the way I saw his name, and throughout the interview, it was very obvious, but we did speak with him about that meta change.
Yeah, I mean, grenades is something we've been talking about a lot on the team, like stop wasting grenades on stupid stuff, so obviously we've been practicing not wasting it, but also we also do double nades. Those double nade stacks, which is a setup, like it's something we practice and see if it works, but in general it's just a understanding of not wasting nades and using it at the right time. I think a lot of teams could benefit from learning that.
So pretty much, and he said it at a different point in the interview too, the way they practice, like Zonic pretty much rides them. Like, and we even talked to Zonic about it, and he pretty much said the
like
same exact thing.
Like physically and emotionally.
Yeah. Stands on their shoulders as they practice. saying that like, no, that was a big thing that Zonic was bringing over from his 1.6 days is like, stop wasting utility. Like, you threw a frag grenade at the door. Did you think
he was
anyone...
talking about smokes.
Or smokes, or really anything, right?
Okay, 1:30. Why didn't you wait till 1 minute or a little closer to the end of the round? They didn't show you that they're going to execute yet, so
right.
Why give away your positioning? And like, he was just so in depth and knowledgeable about that. It was awesome.
Yeah, which I mean, it even happens in our games, right? You will throw a frag grenade at A stairs on Mirage, just at the start of the round, not because you think that's where they are, but that's just because it's what you do. Right, on the off chance they decide to rush it, you can get that early damage. Whereas if you just kind of held off, knew he was sitting on Tetris, and then throw the grenade, you can get guaranteed damage on him. And that's what he said. Like, he really is kind of pushing him on that. So I thought it was pretty cool.
No, yeah, for sure. And it helped him in the finals, for sure. I mean, but it was like every round, not even every other round, but every round there was damage being done before a gun was even fired.
Well, it's like on
so
the
it's
first.
Like,
I knew this. I mean, you could tell because they just knew the spots where to do double or even like triple nades you were seeing. I mean, it was crazy stuff. And it's not that much of a change. It's going to show the importance of the utility. And I think you'll see teams mimic that part of it. I don't think it's like a true meta change.
No,
right?
It's
don't
an attitude.
Waste your utility.
It's a change in attitude, but that was like on Dust 2 when they 16-1 Liquid. They said it where it was like at one point, Astralis had just over 1,000 damage alone from their utilities. Liquid had zero. And this was like, I think late into it, like 12 rounds into the game or something like that.
And mind you, Dust 2 was Liquid's map pick. Astralis said they hadn't even been practicing that map. So just being smart with your utility will do that for you. Like, that's not them knowing every part of the map, right? Like, that's
right.
I mean, Liquid should be the team coming in with every part, with all the knowledge there. And they took it to them.
Yeah. So Astralis ended up beating them. Liquid, like Brett said earlier, though, like, apart from that, I really wish, so afterwards you get to talk to the winning team, you don't get to talk to the losing team, which, to be fair, I have had to talk to losing professional sports teams. It's never fun talking to them after a big loss. Like, so you just lost the Super Bowl. Do you want to talk to me now? It's like, no, I don't.
You want to talk about it?
Right. But I really wanted to talk to Liquid because I'm like, you can't be happy about the results, but you got to be happy about the performance. Like, take away the 16-1, and all those games were very close.
Close, like good games, down to the wire games where you really felt like a round here and there would have changed it.
It really shows, though, that the utility was the difference. I really, truly feel like that utility was the difference. There were times even on Mirage where it's like Astralis would get double kills with nades, or a guy's planting, throw a nade, boom, get the kill. It was insane how they were able to utilize that. And just to hear it from Zonic and Zipnik that, no, yeah, we like actually, that's actually like a big point of practice on what we do.
Yeah, it was utilities and device, which is sad because, if he's hurt again, you're not going to get to see him. But, I mean, he was picking on Nitro that entire game. Pretty insane.
Some time to recoup. So that was pretty much ESL Dallas in a nutshell. Very good tournament. Very fun weekend to go to. Meet the players. Get to talk to them. Meet some listeners. And some of those teams will be in DreamHack Austin, which we'll talk about in our DreamHack Austin preview episode that we always do every year before we head out there. So we'll see that. And talk a little bit about more why you're seeing some of the teams there, but why you're not seeing as much of the bigger name teams in Austin. But for now, throughout the week, there was a big reveal in Call of Duty Black Ops 4. I'm not going to lie, going into this, I really didn't have a lot of expectations going in. I guess maybe I'm just jaded by Call of Duty. But I'm not going to lie, my hype level is pretty real right now. Anuj, I know you probably know it more up and down of what's going on in Black Ops 4, so I'll let you kind of lead the way.
Yeah, I mean, the reveal, I was excited for the reveal coming out just because I was hoping we would get a modern-style game that was boots on the ground, right? And I didn't want to see, like, the jetpacks and all that and go modern. It was awesome because obviously that was one of the first things that was announced. But from, like, a competitive standpoint, like, an esports side standpoint, here were, like, the pluses that I got out of this. They're adding predictive recoil. And I guess I should preface that with there are dedicated PC servers this year, which are going to be run by Blizzard. There's going to be a dedicated PC version of this game. So it's
already
going to
up
be
in
like
the launcher,
built
too.
For... Yeah, it's awesome. It's already there for you to pre-order if you want. But so there will be predictive recoil. Think Counter-Strike, but probably not as tough just because the game has to
be
playable
on
console.
But still, that's huge from a competitive standpoint. To have something in a game where someone can honestly practice and noticeably be better at it than someone and leave RNG out of the question. I mean, how many times have we said it on this show? You want a competitive game, eliminate as much RNG as you can.
Yeah, I think Battle Royales are kind of the kicker to that, right? That'd be the one thing that...
Well, yeah,
goes against the grain in esports, right. But yeah, predictive recoil is huge, and I think that's going to be great because it just opens up a skill gap that wasn't there before. League play returns within the game, so you know a lot of people use BG's Battle Games, right?
Battlegrounds.
That's what it's called. What is the website people go to? Game Battles.
Game Battles. There we
go. Yeah, Game Battles. Sorry.
It's
yeah,
been
yeah,
a hot
game battle.
Minute
so
since I've ever had to worry about
it. It has. So people use Game Battles. There's going to be a league play within the game.
Which is MLG's baby, by the way.
Yeah, but what a great idea. You know, like that's what we're kind of asking for from Counter-Strike, isn't it? Is to have some sort of league system within the game. I mean, just something like that I think is awesome. So one thing by doing that is they are reducing games from 6v6 to 5v5. That's going to be, again, more for the casual. I think the competitive side will stay 4v4, I'm assuming. But at least from a casual standpoint, you don't go into a game where you're worrying about a spawn camper. Or just, I mean, it's more of a competitive field of the game. You don't feel as much of a team deathmatch vibe while playing. And so I think all of that is, at least from the esports standpoint, that's going to be huge. Wouldn't y'all agree?
Yeah, I think some of the big things with there is just through the attitude Activision is have going into this. The fact that they're starting to embrace the PC crowd a little more gives me hopes that maybe you'll see competitive PC Call of Duty, you know, in the near future at tournaments and things. The fact that they've even said, like, this is all multiplayer. They're not doing a single player for this because only, like, 8% of the people who started the single player in the old Call of Duty, like, in old Black Ops, even finished it, right? So, like, in their mind, they were like, well, why even put in the money?
Why bother?
Yeah, why bother? No one's going to play it. We'll give you Battle Royale, which, okay, whatever. But I'm more interested.
Hey, now, the Battle Royale is a little unique, though. They're using, like, it's a massive map. There's going to be, like, all the interest points are going to be old, like, hot point locations in Call of Duty games. All the Black
Ops
games. Which
I mean, I think that's really cool. Right? The fact that they're just going to have a different... Basically, every little section will be its own map.
Ground, air, land vehicles. They said the map is just massive. So there could be something there, right? Like, nobody thought Fortnite would take off. Who knows? Maybe their own twist to it helps, and it's not a free-to-play, obviously. But still, they might have something new to add to the equation, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The only thing I'm still worry about, and it's the thing I'm always worried about with Call of Duty games, is that you're adding all this stuff, right? Like, the league play is huge. Dedicated servers, the recoil, all this is gearing it towards a very competitive atmosphere. But nothing is going to kill the competitive drive if I know by July you're coming out with a new game in October. So what's
It's already been leaked. Did you hear this?
No.
That it's going to be Modern Warfare 4.
Seriously?
Oh, I have heard that. Okay, yes.
Because it's different developers, right? So you don't have the same developer making the game each year.
So they're not going to be doing all the same other things like dedicated servers and like a BR.
I guess
that's just going to be exclusive to this game.
It's a yearly game, wonderful. Right? So it's going to be its own. Now, they might have their own BR game. And like, people got to know that the old Call of Duty still have a big following, right? Like, it's not like everybody migrates over. You'll notice the price on Steam kind of reflects that because there's still a player base for a lot of games. I think the hope here is that this game has a 2 to 3 year life cycle, like a legit 2 to 3 year life cycle. Right. But there will be a different Call of Duty next year.
Yes, but from the competitive standpoint, like Activision's Call of Duty League, right? Like, that's all up to them on what sticks. How, like,
essentially, yeah. I mean,
like, PC gamers don't do the whole buy a new game every year. Like, if Call of Duty or if Counter-Strike came out with a new game every year, the PC crowd is much different than the console gamer, I think, on that.
For
sure. PC crowd does... We'll spend money. I mean, look at Brett. You buy a new game like every 3 days.
I kind of do.
So you're kind of a perfect example.
No. I mean, those are like, I mean, half of those are single player games, right? Like, I need a little variety in my life, but I'm not buying a different multiplayer, you know, like a.
It's just the different game that you're climbing the ladder to be skillful on, and then it's every year you have to relearn this different mechanic or something like that.
And there it is.
The same theory as sports games, right? Do you, any of y'all buy or used to buy sports games year after year? Like, I waited in line for Madden every year back in the day.
Well, yeah, I mean, that. Now, that is different because, you know, we don't really give sports games a whole lot of, like, tread when it comes to, like, esports. But like shooters, I'm with Tim. Like if I put in, you know, 300-400 hours on a game, and you know I got really good at that game, and then another one comes out, and you know everyone just migrates over. It's like, well, that was a waste of, you know, 400 hours of my life
and
on
I think
that game.
The one thing that's different on that too with PCs is the amount of games you have at the ready, right? Like.
Mm.
If they want to make the game like $30 every year and just do multiplayer, then that's a completely, like, throw my argument out the window because it's completely different, right? But if you're going to charge $60 every year for just a multiplayer game when it's like the other game is still booming in popularity and like somewhere where the pros can actually, like, you can have history behind it, that's just my attitude towards it. Like, I'm not saying it's going to change my opinion on the game. I just wish it had a longer shelf life. So that esports, you get history behind it, right?
So you mentioned one thing on this that I think is pretty intriguing. Like, we hope the PC scene takes off here, right? And I think that's a much more likely possibility because what is one thing that you see at all of these major tournaments? And I think if they're running multiple games there, they already have PCs at the ready. So you can integrate COD through third-party tournament organizers. It doesn't have to be MLG that puts on this event for a big console event.
Right.
You can now have different tournament organizers pick up COD and play it as a PC game there. And the thing is, if the next Call of Duty, you know, doesn't have dedicated servers, essentially the lifespan on Black Ops 4 would be extended through PC. Same with the Battle Royale mode. If that's a really good BR game and people really actually love it, they're not going to leave it in 1 year. They're going to keep playing the game, and Black Ops 4 is still going to be supported by Treyarch.
Can you imagine? Like, because I don't think you can have a console and a PC competitive league. I don't really think. I mean, maybe it can. You know, they can be like kind of separate from each other and be successful. But oh my god, if it did switch to PC, how would you feel as a pro? Like a COD pro at that point.
I think MLG will always pimp this out as a console.
It's because all they're so about the money,
sponsored
though.
By PlayStation.
I was going to say, PlayStation is paying... You think like MLG picked PlayStation because of the superior processor speed or whatever? No, they picked it because PlayStation was like, hey, we'll give you this money instead of Xbox. And they're like, okay.
And they have the monopoly. Yeah.
I mean, even a controller company like SCUF, these guys are probably paying oodles of money for them to just keep throwing it out there and having them at every event like they do. Like, they're making their money on the console side. This is just another avenue that could extend the lifespan.
They have control of the console game, right? Like, yeah, you have Halo and Gears of War and things like that, but for the most part, like, what if you're getting a first-person shooter for a console, you're going to get what all your friends have and what everyone else is playing, and that ain't Halo. You know, that's going to be Call of Duty. So they have control of console. The console scene, I don't think, will ever die from it. I'm just hoping for a little bit of bump in the PC side. But it's still very early on. But I guess when is the game coming out? It's got to be...
October 12th.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
Damn,
it's
far.
It's far, but it's going to come
too bad.
Quick.
Yeah. Yeah. It will come quick.
For the Summer sake of when a game up. Comes, you got E3 coming up in a couple weeks. You're probably going to see a little bit more there. And then leading up
I'm
to...
sad that it comes out so close to WoW's expansion release. That's going to be tough on me more than anything.
Yeah. Tell your wife you'll be back in 2 months. Tell your spouse. You know, just preface it. Prepare them for it.
Maybe I'll get her pregnant. Keep her busy.
Just foster more cats.
There you go.
So that's Call of Duty there. We'll keep an eye on it, though, as far as an esports growth and see what happens there. But for now, let's introduce a brand new, probably groundbreaking segment that Anuj likes to call Word on the Street.
I like the name.
All right.
Is it cheesy? Can you guys let us know?
It's a work in progress.
If it's like really cheesy, let us know. We're open to changing
it. It's subject to change.
This came up around like what 1 p.m. today.
Yeah.
So it just kind of hit me. Let's go with this, and
which explains the lack of production value. And you know, we'll probably.
I think production value will be key to the name. If we can do that right, I think it could be something that sticks.
All right, but the whole premise of the segment, let's explain that, is pretty much, you know, we always have our finger on the pulse. You know, our ears to the ground, right?
True, man. We'll go with that.
People do that. We always know what's going on behind scenes, right? We hear things all the time. And rather than tweeting it and blah, 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 you know, being one of those guys, we figured let's talk about it on the show because that way we can deliver the clear message that these are unconfirmed rumors that we have heard.
Are obviously 100% true.
That are 100% true, and we want all the credit if it comes out later on. But if they are not true, I want to remind everyone that they are unconfirmed. And
we heard from somebody else.
We heard it
fault.
From someone else.
They lied to you, not us.
So I'm not accepting any responsibility if this is false, but I want all of the rewards if they're true. Because, you know, we're just not afraid to push some buttons here on TCR. Anuj, why don't you start off with the first one?
Yeah, so Cajun B, when in our interview with him.
Now, this one we can say we heard.
Yeah, this one we actually
literally
like, heard
have
from,
audio of this. So this one's different from everything I just said. Go on.
But we still don't. He still wouldn't confirm it, right? He
that's
was like,
right.
Yeah, I don't know if I should talk about this that much. But, anyways, they're discussing the return to EU. They're not really sure when that will take place, but we know it is happening. I guess they have ECS around the corner and a couple other tournaments that they're qualifying for, and they'll probably stay in NA for the qualifiers because, let's be real, it's a little easier. And then
even
they'll make
he
their
said
way
rather
to
play EU because of the challenge.
Who wouldn't? Okay, who's not going to say that, right? Let's be real. Like, as much as we love Cajun B, still probably lied right there. It's nice to probably play this NA competition compared to the EU.
Right.
It's just easier to qualify. It just is. And so, yeah, but they should be making their way back to EU. They'll be living back at home. And yeah, we can expect to see that that coming after the next few tournaments here.
So Optic is moving back to EU for their Counter-Strike scene. Another one here, we all know that they're in Arlington, Texas, just down the street from us. They are building an esports arena in part of the Arlington Convention Center. It's going to be like a 1,000-seat arena and host little events there. But there's also rumors going on that in Frisco, Texas, another down the street, just a different direction from us, is that by 2020 you're going to see one or two esports arenas there. And those I can only imagine are going to be really
one
nice.
One in Arlington,
okay,
one
in Arlington, which has been confirmed. Frisco's opening it up one, and man, I gotta think that's gonna happen because you have
Dallas Cowboy money and they own Frisco
right now.
You have
Complexity out there. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Optic, I think, is in Frisco.
Yep.
You
they
have
are.
Envious in Dallas. Frisco is for people who aren't in like the DFW Metroplex. Frisco, 10 years ago, used to be like the city that felt like it was hours away. Nothing was out there.
Nothing.
Well, now
it's a quick 45-minute drive.
It's
feels great.
You take the toll way up there. It's not bad. And everything is out there. The PGA is supposed to be moving their headquarters out there. It's rumored. Dallas,
Toyota,
Cowboys,
State Farm,
Farm moved headquarters out there. It's ridiculous. Dallas Stars have their headquarters. FC Dallas. Everyone moved out to Frisco because all it was land for the taking. And so the fact that, like Nuge said, you got Cowboys money out in Frisco, so I can easily see them building a very nice esports.
You
arena.
Know who else wishes they were in Frisco? Verizon Grand Prairie, like the Verizon Theater. These guys, you know, that's the other knock on that, going back for a second, is the location. How perfect would it have been if this was located
okay.
out in Frisco?
So can I tell you
a
story
that
I know that
kind of
about Grand
there.
Prairie?
Uh-huh.
So when they built the Verizon Theater and like Ripley's Believe It or Not, which is just so random to have out there, but it's out there, that was supposed to be like what Arlington is now. So like
they were going to build around it.
Yeah, like the original plan was, hey, we're going to build this stuff out in Grand Prairie and we're going to make it very entertainment district and everything like that. And then it just, Arlington kind of became that place.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because they also have that Lone Star Park, which is like
the
gambling
for
horse gambling. Dude, they should tear that down and make that like a sports betting area now that it's changing. And that could maybe do it. But yeah, you kind of wish that was the venue out there because I feel like everybody would enjoy it more.
But again, Jerry Jones could have an esports tournament at the Star, which is where the Cowboys practice, and it would look good. Like,
I just want to see one that's more than like, so I know we mentioned Arlington has like the 1,000-seater.
They won't be able to host big events though. Like I
no,
like,
they
especially
won't. That's what I'm hoping
where
the Frisco one is like at 10,000.
1,000-seat. Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, just to kind of speak on that, I mean, you got to think like if we're talking about Dallas Cowboy money and Jerry money, I mean, part of the reason why Jerry built, you know, the new stadium that the Cowboys play in is because he wants to host things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to believe that if he's involved, like he's going to build something where, you know, esports events can be hosted at.
It's
and that part is
sure.
the more unconfirmed part. We don't know who is involved with the Frisco build.
Right. I mean,
there's a facility there, but yeah, I mean, if it was, that would be good. I just hope it's some sort of big arena.
Yeah.
I don't want to see another 1,000-seat arena.
You hear Frisco and you think Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I think that would be almost a safe one to say as well. But yeah, the one in Arlington, if it's really only going to be 1,000-seater, I mean, that one might be okay for now, but I mean, that's not future-proof by any means if esports is going to be the way people are saying
that
it's going
to be.
That
seems like some sort of league play kind of venue.
Right.
Right? Not a major event. No one's going to rent it out for a major event.
Yeah.
Not even a console game.
Like an Overwatch League, if you know they have the home
the fuel,
at home,
the fuel play out there or whatever.
Yeah,
it's very well. Even though I know Mike told us the one time that they really want to try keeping that in Dallas proper, but I don't think that opinion matters
Central,
if money.
One thing that you mentioned, you know, it's like pretty easy to get to from Dallas or Fort Worth.
I think money can change anyone's mind. Next thing, the next word on the street is that Blizzard is in talks of maybe 8 or 9 franchises going into Overwatch League, but will most likely take 6. Did I translate that right, Anuch? This is your writing.
Yeah. So Blizzard is, you know, talking to eight or nine different investors at this moment. We don't know what the price is going to be to buy in, 20, 30 million, whatever it may be. And it looks like they'll most likely take 6 franchises into next year's league. So just adding either another division or just making divisions larger. But yeah, you're expected to see, I mean, from what we're hearing, I know somebody from one of the main investors for the LA Dodgers was like involved in this also as one of the bidders. Paul Allen is rumored to be involved. So we're hearing some like,
adding
you know,
a team
these are
in
like,
Paris, right? Where,
yeah,
like,
I mean, there was one
Alienware
in Paris.
Alienware is going to have their own setup out there in Paris and they want to add a team out there.
Like just put some sort of team like they did with Liquid to the one here in LA, add a team for the one out in Paris. So yeah, you're hearing like when you hear these Paul Allen and all that kind of names, I mean, these are like billionaires, dude. These guys got oodles of money. So some really big names looking to potentially get involved, whether they're the ones that win these or get these teams, who knows, but you're looking at about 6 new teams joining for next year.
And I think you will see. I think as it grows, pretty much every year you're going to see restructure with the divisions. Because obviously when you get more EU teams, you're probably just going to want, because with home and home, right, you're obviously going to want them to play more at home. And then that
like
way,
from a scheduling standpoint, yeah, staying in Europe and then traveling to another European city.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. I think that's how that's going to work. But that'd be pretty awesome to see Paris get a team. They could name it the Paris Baguettes.
The Paris Parasites.
Brett?
That would be kind of crappy.
What?
Do you want to get on this?
The Paris Penne Pasta.
The penne pasta. I like the baguettes. The baguettes, yeah. Okay. I can get behind that.
Go with that one.
Way to be original, bro.
Although it's probably going to be something related to like PSG, right? They can't because...
That's like a...
Unless they...
Nah, Blizzard won't
unless
do
they,
it.
You know,
they're also a rumor, just so you know, to be an investor too.
Yeah, so, PSG. Which they're already into esports, so that would make sense though.
Yeah.
Right? They do Rocket League and FIFA. And
that wouldn't be breaking much, so we didn't write it down.
You know, we only go with the big stories here. Speaking of big stories, so this is like a rumor within a rumor within a rumor, all right? So hold my hand as we dive into this one here. So it is rumored.
Brett, he said hand. He said hand.
You can hold it, Brett.
Thanks, man.
So it is rumored that Envious of Counter-Strike is looking into possibly dropping their roster, so no longer being a French roster and entering into more of the NA scene. This somewhat makes sense when you think, okay, Envious is now based out of Dallas, Texas, and Envious's roster has now been relegated from not one but two pro leagues, and they're pretty much at an all-time low, and the French shuffle is about to happen anyway, so you're going to have to be paying money out for buyouts that you probably didn't even want any part of to begin with.
They didn't do it the first time. They're not going to do it this time.
Right. So it is rumored now that Envious CSGO division is now looking into going more NA. Which NA teams are out there? There's discussion of possibly NRG just buying out the roster for NRG.
Envious buying out the roster for NRG.
Yes, yeah. Envious buying NRG's roster. This also kind of makes sense because NRG, we just discussed earlier, have been playing really well lately, especially in league play. The LAN play can follow, right? I feel like if you can make it to the LANs, eventually your LAN play will improve.
Get more people interested in your team if your team is named Team Envious. So
exactly.
That'll
help.
That is,
yeah, that's
that
what
is
I was
going to
bring
true.
Up. It's, I mean, just yeah, just the name in itself.
It.
Yeah.
The
we'll
brand
get
behind
you invited
it, with it being in North American or North America, I think that's always helps too as far as a fan prospect, right? More North American teams, more people getting involved. This also makes sense on why NRG just didn't re-sign their coach either.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Envious is NA headquartered, you know, and they're pretty centralized. And from what we hear, there's a couple of esports arenas opening up in the area, so maybe we see a team located in Texas.
Yeah, and I mean, they get NRG, they instantly become like top four, right? In NA, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
like I said, this is all rumors, but when you really dissect it, you're like,
yeah,
that could happen. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, that you didn't sign Emmy, your former coach, and you know I know he's from the United Kingdom. I don't know if he like lives out there, but maybe that was one of the reasons where they were like, "Yeah, we're not staying here, right?" Like this is not going to.
But they
be
signed a big name coach. They didn't sign a small name coach, so I think the coach move is independent of
the roster. Rumors?
Yeah, because it's I'm a pet, so I'm a pet's not like a pushover, like 1 month coach transition type coach.
Is that
like,
former Optic?
There. Mm-hmm. Former Optic, but really, like we're. Okay. He made his showing was what CLG,
right?
That's where he like was really good. With Optic, unfortunately, let's be real, that whole thing just did not work out over there, from player standpoint to everything. So this will be a good test because I think he's taking over a talented roster and
possibly getting a bigger org in there.
Yeah, they're trying to get to that next level, so that'll be good.
So there you have it. Oh wait,
I think the last one's
one more.
We got one more. This last one's big. So This is being reported now. Okay, so you're starting
to
see this.
Are you not going to honor your own segment here?
Word on the street.
Thank you.
Is G2 is about to have this French? There's about to be this massive French shuffle. What we're hearing is the organization G2 is going to be the org to pick up Shox's team, which means Apex falls to the wayside, which means NBK, which is kind of the biggest news that started to leak today. So we should have done this segment like a couple hours ago. But NBK won't be part of this grouping, and you will see a team of Body, Smits, Extends, Shox, and Kenny S. And so I think that team has a better chance to do anything than this team is currently doing. Only thing I'm surprised about is Body, but Body was also known as a heavy fragger prior to joining the G2 roster. It's just with that many big names, he got kind of shoved into a support role. So now with Smits, who is a born support player, Body might have the chance to go into more of a fragging role. I really wish one of these teams would pick up Scream. I wish this team would pick up Scream, but there's obviously something more there, because I just feel like that would be a better choice in my opinion. But yeah, that's what we're hearing. So
that one, though, will probably be confirmed
sooner than later.
But,
you won't have to wait too
long.
By
one of our sources, we're still waiting to hear back. We have so many feelers out there, it's hard to really round up all of them when you want to hear about, when you want to get confirmations. But that's it. That is all the words on the street. Again, unconfirmed. I'm not going to take any credit for if they're false. But when they are real, you remember
you
where
heard
you
here
heard
first.
It here first on the center ring. Let's get into some e-news, shall we? Kind of a lighter e-news here. In CSGO, you have this Space Soldiers drama that's going on now, where last I heard that they were going to... The organization was going to drop the roster, and now it looks like there's a little bit more to it, Anuj?
No, so Space Soldiers has the most amazing deal with their players. They got these guys on like 2 or 3 year contracts, paying them like basically nothing. I mean, you're talking like hundreds of dollars a month. Okay, so we're looking at like maybe $500-$600 a month is what's rumored. And so these guys are on these crap contracts, and they're busy trying to renegotiate their contracts because they play well online. Like, they do a good job. They make a lot of these big events, and they're not making anything because they don't also win in these big events. So it's not like they're taking home a lot of prize money. They're just making into it, which is a lot of exposure. But the other thing is it looks like 4 of the players wanted to potentially kick one of them, and the org wasn't allowing it, because again, what happens? You kick a guy on a bad contract, you probably got to pick up somebody who's more knowledgeable about it. So they blacked out all their social media. They took all the Space Soldiers logos off. They like put black pictures on their, not like black people, like plain black canvas pictures on their icon or whatever, avatar or whatever you want to call it.
Why is LeBron James
on Twitter? Why is LeBron
James?
So they blacked out everything. And yeah, I mean, that's just kind of crazy. Again, if you are an esports player, this is like a moment of advice for you. If you're getting into esports, you're a true, like, good player. If you're crappy, don't bother. But if you're, like, good, consult with somebody before you sign anything. Don't sign away your life just to get onto a team, because if you're that good, you'll get other opportunities.
Man, those are some words of wisdom there. No, you're right. And I know, Decay was going on about that too, which I don't want to spend e-news breaking down my opinion on Decay, but I think it's easier to say than done, right? Like, if you're a young kid and you don't know if you're ever going to get another chance to sign, I'm not saying they should do it. I'm just saying I can see why, right? Like, it definitely happens where these guys are kind of tricked into signing these really bad contracts.
If you feel like it's a stroke of luck that you're getting a contract, like if somebody came to us and wanted to sponsor us type thing, like if that were to happen, I get it. But if you're truly a very good player and you know that, and you're competing in FPL and some of these top tier, situations, opportunities will come. Look at Stewie.
Just
look
watch.
At Robs. Like, it happens.
Just
and so,
watch how little the deal is when I sign away TCR.
Oh, my pennies. Pennies, dude. Give
bucks?
Me a free shirt.
Yeah, yeah, we are cheap.
Shirt.
We are cheap.
I will take a shirt that's like two sizes too big, and this is yours.
Speaking of shirts, you guys, I finally gave you your shirts from
Best in Slot.
Best in Slot.
Best in Slot.
Those are those are really comfortable. So thank you very much for that.
That shirt. I sent you guys a message. I'm like, I want to be buried in this shirt.
Yeah.
So comfortable.
Hashtag not an ad. Okay.
Yes.
So this is not an ad for them. We're not doing any. We're not affiliated with them in any way.
But
they were just cool. They wanted to send us some free swag.
Go to Best in Slot. If you Google Best in Slot clothes, or it's BIS clothing.
It was Slot.
No, it's Slot. Their logo is a sloth. Yeah. It's Best in Slot. But man,
that's confusing.
I don't know what they did to get those shirts that soft, but they even say that soft after washing.
They even fit comfortable, like on my chest and my arms, and
my breasts don't look big in it, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, they just make me look like I'm one rather than curvy. Again, though, that's not an ad or anything. It's just I think their shirts are soft.
Appreciate y'all turning those over.
In other E! News there, Cloud9 backs out of ESL New York because they want to play at Blast Pro Series, which it sucks because, again,
it's in Istanbul.
It's in Turkey, which is where Tarek and, like, his whole family's from. So, like, I completely don't blame him because he's probably not going to get a whole lot of chances to play a tournament at home. In Turkey.
He's also from Brooklyn, though. He's like grown and raised in Brooklyn, so it's like.
But again,
pretty crappy too.
He can go back to ESL New York anytime.
This is not a Cloud9 decision, don't you agree? This is not a player decision. This is not something where, like, I'm sure the players are like, we want to go to this one versus that one, because there's a monetary fine here for doing it. They accepted the invite, for ESL. Now maybe the players voted this, like, I think ultimately this is like an Oregon.
If you want my opinion, I bet you Blast Pro Series said, don't worry about that fine. We'll pay up the difference if you come play at this tournament instead. And I'm sure the players looked at Tarek and he really wanted to go to it, so they probably voted for it.
It's a money whip.
Yeah, I think it's all a money whip there. But so now Liquid is now playing at ESL New York, which honestly probably isn't that's probably better for New York.
It is, but don't you find that, like, ESL New York is, like, I find that to be a huge event, like, one of the premier events for the year for ESL, and for Cloud9 to back out on it for Blast Pro, like, what is Blast Pro Series, dude? It's been around for 1 year, maybe? I mean,
yeah, bro, we've talked about Blast Pro Series before, yeah.
But, like, last year was their first year, right? Like, they weren't around prior to that, so I don't know why you would make that move.
Somehow, they've morphed this vision of Blast Pro, though, where it's just, like, this tournament to be, and it's just, it's improved anything but. I mean, yeah, you got some unique ideas there, but I don't know.
I like the thought behind it. The execution last year was horrendous, so they better come through this year. And now they took out, Cloud9. Again, New York, you're welcome. That's probably a good move for y'all, but still, just a little surprising that that's the route they went, because I feel like you wouldn't want to turn your back like that on ESL.
Mm-hmm. Fortnite announced something big. We've always talked, when is Fortnite going to break into esports? And boy, did they ever.
They took over Twitter.
They announced that they are going to host their first ever tournament next year with a $100 million prize pool.
No, okay, so that's
that
a little
false?
Different. So, it's $100 million in prize money. That's going to be allocated to Fortnite-based sponsored tournaments throughout the year. So it's not going to be a one tournament.
That's what I get for just
tournament.
Reading the headline.
Yeah. So it's not a one, match, $100 million and somebody can retire.
Okay.
No, this is spread out between console. So there's going to be PS4, Xbox, and PC tournaments. They're going to be tournaments throughout the year, but they're going to be Fortnite-sponsored events, right? So you're still going to have, like, your ESLs and whatever else host Fortnite tournaments, but the ones that are sponsored by them will be $100 million in value. And there'll also be, like, in-game tournaments that I think they're about to get involved with. This is really going to take a different direction here pretty soon. Yeah. So get ready for it, because it's going to be pretty big this next year.
So, I mean, you even just take out, like, cut it into thirds to the different, like, platforms. Counter-Strike orgs are still like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, no. So look at this.
$33 million is still, like,
the top 16 games last year, okay? And I forgot who tweeted this out. I think it was Optic Cringe. Texas tweeted this out. But the top 16 games from last year, net producing on tournaments, right? Counter-Strike being number two behind, I believe it was Dota, because of the international, really. That's the only thing that really jumped that above. Were valued. The top 16 were valued at 100 million exactly, pretty much. Fortnite will be doing that all in 1 year. The same amount of money for one game in 1 year. So it's great that they're turning around and taking some of that money that they've made, because they have made a lot of money, and putting it right back into the players' pockets.
Yeah.
Granted, that's not people like us, but at least it's
nice to see that game developers can do that.
They're jumping in fully. You know something crazy that I learned about Fortnite? And not just Fortnite, multiple
it's
games.
Not fun.
I didn't know Tencent owns 40% of Epic Games also. So Tencent owns PUBG. They own 40% of Epic Games. They own like a big part of EA, a big part of DICE. I didn't know that. They like owned all these guys. So if y'all are interested in that, go take a look at it, because there's a lot of cool information. But yeah, they own majority of these game companies.
And in Rainbow Six, Ubisoft announced that I think starting later this year, I don't have the information in front of me, but that they are going to a league play. So rather than just pros with tournaments and everything like that, they're moving it to a more formal league with relegation built in, though, for contender teams. So you're going to see, hopefully have a little bit more structure to it and a little bit more avenues for people who want to see that progression and become a pro.
So are they not going to make then a new Rainbow Six and just keep adding operators and maps, basically?
I think they are really...
That's what I heard.
Yeah, like, I don't think they have any plans of a new Rainbow Six for a while.
That's
like,
good, though. Yeah. I like that.
Ubisoft has said before, like, they're seeing growth and they're okay with it, right? Like, they don't need to be number one. Their finals still pull in good numbers. You know, Liquid just won the pro... whatever they call it there, like that, the pro season there. So it's
Liquid's good in a lot of different esports. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, they find them. So yeah, next weekend you have the Rocket League finals. So Brett will cover that.
I'm on it.
He is,
man. I'm
on
excited.
It. No stone will be left unturned.
I've said it. There's no, like, this game has the highest skill gap, I think. Like, the skill cap out of any esport, in my opinion.
Brett won't be with us next week. We apologize for that. but tune in and hear more.
What?
I don't know. So that will just about do it for the show. That was a long one. But I felt like it was a good one. And that's okay. That is okay. Episode 106 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast, is done. It's in the books. We thank you for listening. If you listen to the full 120 or so minutes of it, I love you. You're crazy. If you skipped around, I love you all the same. Let us know what you thought of Word on the Street. If you have any name suggestions for that segment, let us know. We're always open to ideas. And, let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring how you liked the episode, how you liked the show, what we can do to change. Our website, tcr.gg, will have all of our information there. You can join us on Discord. Let us know what's up. Again, remember all those rumors you heard. Heard it here first. And if they're wrong, then that's not our fault. But until next time, for Brett, for Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.